Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whistle, Jimmy, whistle.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Friel is here! Woo!
Hear what I'm doing in here, Jimmy? I'm whistling. Whistling. You jealous?
I whistle while you work.
This is Wretched Radio. Why can't you whistle, Jimmy?
Somebody's got an upset tummy.
Get a mouthful of peanut butter crackers.
Because your tummy's feeling a little seasicky. A
little bit.
Isn't it funny how food can just make you feel better?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it comfort food is a real thing. You eat a certain type of food and it's like, okay, I've just been hugged by food. I got a big time hug on Sunday. Oh man, Lauren made this. It was indescribable. It was a pan. It was like a coffee cake bread pudding, cinnamon, and it was not just warm. It was hot. I felt like I've been loved by food. It's just something about warm food, like warm stuff. And okay, here's another thing that needs to be worked through. If you're thinking about getting married, you've got to work through this issue now. If the missus makes food for church, just negotiate the deal now. Do you, sir, have the opportunity before it's delivered to church to eat any of it? Get that sorted. I'm telling you.
Got to make sure it's not poisonous.
I'm the cupbearer.
That's right.
I want to make sure everybody at church is safe. I just don't understand it. Mrs. Friel, okay, she made this blueberry lemon thing and it was real lemon zest and actual blueberries, this crumble cake. Oh, I just wanted a little corner. That's all I just wanted a little corner. No, it's for church. I go to church.
I'm a part of the church.
No, tomorrow. I'm still going to, nobody's going to know you're going to be, you cut it up and you put it on a plate and serve it. Nobody's going to know the corner piece is missing. And then that's another thing you're going to want to get worked out before you get married. Can you say, okay, let's say it's not for church. It's being made for the family. Can you taste it while it's hot out of the oven? That's another thing. Mrs. Friel is like, it needs to cool down. No, it doesn't. I'm happy to eat it. In fact, I prefer it. It's like warm baby food. Let me eat that. You'll want to get that worked. This is why the divorce rate is so high in this country.
I think so.
They just don't get things like this resolved. Issues? Send them to idea@wretched.org. Feel like texting questions, comments, conundrums, snarks? You may do so at 877-282-2337.
Speaking of marriages, Todd, this is from Anonymous who texted in. What are your thoughts on a couple taking communion at a wedding between themselves only? I've been to several weddings over the years, and many have done this, and it doesn't sit right with me as I've always understood communion to be in a local church body context with all believing members partaking.
Yeah, I think technically that's right. Would I make a deal about it? No, I wouldn't. I understand. It is still a unity meal between husband and wife. It takes on a little bit of an additional significance considering the context. Technically, I think, yeah, that is the way to do it. But I don't have a law that is clearly stated. And so, in fact, I think last summer I was, they did the bride and the groom, they did communion. Yeah, I wouldn't make a stink over it. I think we have the pattern. I think we have the direction, but I don't think that we have a law. For instance, I don't think any of us would squawk about this either. Somebody is in a nursing home. They can't get to church to do it with a bunch of people. And so they do communion because they want to be participating in the Lord's Supper and proclaiming his death until he comes. So I don't think any of us would make a squawk about that either. Is it better if the person is brought to church to do communion? Yeah, of course it is. I got a suggestion in that setting, though. How's about the church goes to that person? That's sweet. I that's just a sweet time together where the church says, you're a part of us. You can't make it to us. We're making it to you. And they do communion in a nursing home. Oh, that's... 877, you got a problem with communion at a wedding?
No. No, I mean, like you said, I would make a stink over it. It's probably not the best way. But yeah, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it.
You're getting squishy. You can't whistle and you're getting squishy. 877-282-2337.
All right. What are your thoughts, Todd, on Christians taking non-Christians to court? Does the Bible have anything to say on the matter?
It says nothing. So sue on, litigate away. The only admonition is to not sue another brother. Why? What's the distinction? What's the difference? It's a person. It's a person. It's a believer. It's an unbeliever. So if you can with one, but not with the other, testimony. What does it say to the world when one brother sues another brother? It says we can't get along and we don't really fully grasp grace, that we don't possess a willingness to forgive debts or get things worked out in a loving manner. So it has everything to do with testimony, not the action itself. Suing somebody, I don't think, is the sin. It is that Christians are revealing that they are not living together in unity. That's the sin. That's why it's prohibited for believers. But I don't think it's prohibited for a Christian to sue a non-Christian. Did you know, however, in Savannah, Georgia, I know I've told this before, but I'm sorry. It just tickles my fancy. There are three things that the founding fathers of Savannah, Georgia wanted to make illegal. Jimmy, do you remember what they are?
Mm-mm. No.
They you're going to remember in just a second. Alcohol, that's no surprise because they know what that can do to a community. Second, they wanted to outlaw lawyers because they knew that the litigation process can be something that can be very abused, and lawyers do what, you know, some, not all, some lawyers do, and they can make things very less than the high standard of justice that I think we're called to. I think we need lawyers. In fact, I was just working with a lawyer the other day. No, not criminal charges. I just had to work with a lawyer. So lawyers are good, but in Savannah, they were like, no, we don't want them. They just make trouble. The third thing that they wanted to outlaw, and what? Roman Catholics. The Protestants of Savannah were there because they'd been chased off of the European continent because of the Roman Catholics. And they saw them as a genuine danger. 877-282. If you don't know history, you'd be like, well, they were like racist or something. No, they understood the wars between Catholics and Protestants had a long history. Went both ways. I think the Catholics were far more bellicose than the Protestants, but our hands aren't clean in the whole matter. And so the early settlers of the Western 13 colonies were very concerned about Roman Catholicism because they'd felt the wrath of Rome. You gotta understand history. In fact, Jimmy, you got to understand nations. That's what I think that's what our nation is. The whole concept of culture, we just don't get it. This multiculturalism killing us. The whole CRT business, setting ethnic groups against one another. Oh, it's working. It's working. Social Marxism is working just fine in this country because it's dividing us into ethnicities. And what do ethnicities do? They fight. You got to have a culture. I don't think you need to put a color in front of it. You just need to have a culture. Otherwise, you got chaos. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a really deep question from Tristan. He wants to know how Epic was. Is it worth the money?
Well, how much are you going to pay? Got to know that. Movie tickets are so ridiculous these days. I just saw another chain went out of business. The one in down the Halcyon. It's a movie chain where they bring food to you. They bring food to you, and the whole chain shut down. Movie business is tough these days. The movie theater that we were in, it was an IMAX theater. It was maybe half full for Elvis, man, the movie. You probably need to at least not hate Elvis if you're going to go to it. Or if you have no experience with it and want to understand what was indeed a cultural phenomenon, you'll get it. Rather than somebody telling you about it, you'll go, okay, and you'll either buy into it or you won't. Because you're going to see the guy mostly in action, and you'll either understand why he was probably the biggest artist of the 20th century. He's still one of the biggest artists. I've heard numbers where he sold a billion records, most of them 45s. Even so, he was a something. And if you never had exposure to it, just get ready, because I'm telling you, they turned the volume up to 11 to really make you feel like you were immersed at a concert experience. Was it good? It depends on your attitude toward Elvis. But as far as like movie making goes, sound, and just you just have to appreciate the man's ability to sing. Yeah. Yeah, it was, man. It was worth it. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected. Even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
When Christ shall come, which shall our acclamation to take me home? What joy shall fill my heart?
I can hit that note.
Then I shall bow.
Elvis Epic Man.
In humble adoration.
Was it worth it?
And there proclaim.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, I say,
the big note. Little speakers don't do it justice, but I'm telling you, it was an immersive concert experience. Your mileage may vary. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, aren't you glad you asked about the Elvis movie?
I'm so glad.
Idea at wretched.org. You can text stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Gloria. Todd, does the Bible teach that if someone does not have a desire to be a part of a local church, then they don't belong to Christ?
Not necessarily, possibly. I think we've all heard this line, which it still has some snap to it. Jimmy, I like you.
Oh, I like you too.
Mrs. Hicks, not so much. I don't want to spend any time with her. It's like, whoa, Pally boy. You don't like her. You don't like me, because that is how tight we are. Ditto with Jesus and the church. It should be foreign to the Christian to think that that church is optional. It is the bride of Christ. It's your brothers and sisters. It is your adoptive family. This is something that is so, I think understood so poorly by most of us, because it's hard, because sometimes we don't get along with our siblings, and I get that, but really it's good for us that we have to get along with one another, because something's got to give. You either ride off the church range or you learn how to get along with these people. In other words, church grows you in sanctification. It's a testimony to the world that this disparate group of people somehow get along. People should walk by your church, assuming you have windows in your church that people can look through. They should be going, wait a second, that woman, she's like 80, and that's a teenager. What are they doing in the same, they look like they're singing together. What is going on? What are they doing with that bread and with that grape juice? What's happening in there? I can't compute this. This must be a special place, and it most certainly is. And so if you happen to be a Christian and you've been burned on the church, I'm sorry for that. Heal and then get plugged back in. And if your attitude toward the church happens to be negative, really negative, I'm afraid to say that could be a sign you're not a Christian. Hold on. That got a little strong. 1 John 2. If you don't love the brethren, 1 John 4, even clearer. If you don't love the brethren, you don't love Jesus. So you got to check yourself on this and either identify, you know what? I guess I'm not a Christian. That does need to be a consideration, or you got to repent. You got to change your tune. I've got to work on this. I want to be together with these people. I want to be like Acts chapter 2. I want to make sure that we are listening together. I want to make sure that the command for sanctification that we see is, it's a group thing. It's not just individual. It's for it. We're treated like we're a body. Yes, salvation is individual, but your whole walk is not a solo affair. You are with a group of people in the context of a local church as a testimony to the neighborhood, a testimony to the world of the unity that can only be found in Jesus Christ. So Could it mean you're not a Christian? Yes, it could. But it could mean that you need to repent. And I would encourage you, if it is the either way, get saved and repent of your disdain for the church. Overcome it and start to understand why it is such an amazing place to be. Okay. There are sometimes going to church, it's like it would just be easier to sit on the couch. It just would. I can almost guarantee you every single time you get off the couch and you go to church midweek, you get up early on Sunday morning to go to Sunday school, you don't leave church going, I hated that. That was just a total, no, man. It's the sweetest, oh man, it's the sweetest place in the world. Jamie, you got anything to add to that?
No, you said it all.
Really?
Well, I mean,
okay.
Basically, I mean, the Bible doesn't say you're not a Christian if you don't desire to go to church, but it does say that if you are a Christian, you should desire to go to church.
Yeah, you should. That it's a sign of actually being a Christian,
right?
That you want to do the one another's with one another.
Yeah.
That you want to simply be together for edification, for love, for service. There's something off if you're not there. I would encourage you to figure out what it is and adjust it. Now, there could be other aspects of that I was focusing on. You don't want to go to church because you can't stand those people. Because that's what the church is. Rightly stated, the church is people. But there could be other issues. Just all the preaching and the, you know, well, that's another problem. First John again. Probably chapter 1 or 2. Probably. Chapter 1 or 2. It's in 1 John. It's not that long. You'll find it. That people, they listen. John said, if you believe in Jesus, the sign that one of the signs that you believe in Jesus is that you listen to us. Listen to whom? Listen to authoritative preaching and teaching. We love it. You should love it. And if you don't, is it a sign that you're not a Christian? It could be. But if you are a believer and you're not digging, listening to sermons, going to church, you got to sort that and figure it out, because you should. You really should. So something is busted. I don't know why. It could be a bad experience. You need to heal from it. I get it. But you need to expedite that healing. It could be that you've just got it. You've got something that is revealed in the fact that you don't like preaching. What is it? What is it? You don't like being told what to do? Maybe, could it be that the preaching is bad? Well, then find a church where the preaching is biblical. But you got to get it sorted, because the Christian shouldn't, once you're confronted with this, once you're confronted with all of the if-thens in 1 John, your desire should be, I got to get on that. I got to fix that. It has been brought to my attention. I'm convicted by that. I need to repent of that. So if you don't like teaching and preaching, you got to repent, believer. If you don't like the brethren, you got to repent, believer, because those are the marks of a genuine Christian. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kathy. Todd, I feel like I'm in the minority or even alone when politely trying to share with my Sunday school friends that there is a concern about shows like The Chosen and House of David, and how the shows mix a lot of fiction and speculations with truth. I also pointed out that The Chosen's director stated on an LDS podcast that evangelical Christians and the Mormon church love the same Jesus, which we don't. So how can I get through to them?
Not sure that I would push it any further, honestly. If you've stated your claim, you've made your point, it wouldn't be one of those issues that I would have simmering that would cause a lack of unity and fellowship. I'm on your, was that a sister or a brother?
Yeah, that was a sister, Kathy.
I'm with you, sister. I feel the same way. Would I make it a hill to die on or something, an issue in which to break fellowship? No, I wouldn't. And I'm quite not a fan of those shows. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Curious to get your thoughts. Is it okay or wise for a church to advertise online?
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't have a Bible verse that says it's not. Now, could there be something sneaky or slippery lurking in the bushes? Yeah. How are they advertising? What are they promoting? How is it that they're trying to get people to come to their church? Here's a picture for you. If you think advertising is automatically that's the little church went to market. Okay. Would it be okay if I am a member of your church, went to your downtown area, stood on a street corner and said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a member of XYZ Church. It is magnificent preaching. It is Christ exalting. And if you would like to be a part of a body that will love you and serve you and help you to grow in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we meet at 8 and 10:30 on the corner of Main and Jones Street. Would you have a problem with that? I don't think so. Then we shouldn't have a problem with advertising, as long as it's not slippery, deceptive, and seeker sensitive. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Block, the parent company of Cash App and Square, announced it's cutting more than 4,000 employees. Wall Street's response, the stock jumped 25% in after-hours trading. CEO Jack Dorsey insisted that this isn't because we're in trouble, but because something has changed, pointing to AI tools and a push for smaller and flatter teams. In Massachusetts, Biden-appointed Judge Brian Murphy issued an 81-page ruling blocking the Trump administration from deporting illegal immigrants to third countries without meaningful notice and due process. Murphy argued that nobody knows the predicate fact of removal if the government won't disclose the destination country. The administration has utilized nations including Rwanda, Ghana, El Salvador, and South Sudan, and now has 15 days to appeal. Expedited removals were exempted. Due process matters, though it's worth noting that the same crowd demanding process for deportees spent the last 4 years ignoring the process of entering the country legally. Florida Democrat Ashley Viola Gann managed to turn a vote on remembering Charlie Kirk into a linguistics seminar, arguing Kirk, quote, was not assassinated, but rather died from gun violence, because assassination is typically reserved for someone in a political position. She also called him mediocre and racist and pivoted to white-on-white crime. When you can't muster the decency to honor the dead, apparently you go after the dictionary instead. Meanwhile, a church member named Ann Duquette is suing Don Lemon after he disrupted a January 18th worship service at the city's church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Court documents say Lemon unlawfully interfered with Duquette's ability to exercise her religion. Livestream portions of the disruption appeared to take satisfaction in the chaos, confronted the pastor, and refused to leave after being told he was trespassing. Duquette reports severe emotional distress, fear, and anxiety. Not the Bee is arguing that a recent 60 Minutes segment meant to debunk white farmer genocide claims in South Africa actually proved the opposite, highlighting violence against Afrikaners and a viral clip of South African political leaders chanting, "Kill the Boer, kill the white farmer." The Trump administration shut down nearly all refugee admissions in 2025, but made an exemption for Afrikaners, and Trump reportedly showed South Africa's president video of memorial crosses for victims. The press keeps insisting only certain groups qualify as victims. Reality keeps disagreeing. And in Germany, McDonald's ran a Ramadan campaign that removes food from its billboards during fasting hours and brings it back after sunset in a country that's roughly 6.5% Muslim. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both of those things at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Colossians was written by Paul to combat false teaching, which taught adherence to dietary laws and religious festivals, and claimed special knowledge received through visions. Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice and revelation are sufficient for salvation. When you are tempted to add to the gospel, remember, Jesus is sufficient, and you can trust in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Personally, I thought 1972 was a better year.
It makes me just feel like...
You didn't think I'd play more Elvis? Are you kidding me?
'Cause baby, something beautiful's dying.
This is Wretched Radio. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend the Elvis fans who think 1970 was his peak year. I thought 72 was even better. There, I said it. Now, I know that we can't go to church together anymore. This is definitely a new denomination could be started over this type of disagreement. 877-282-2337.
A text from Jonathan. It's a very personal question. I hope you'll be able to answer it, but
is that your sincere gear, or are you setting me up here?
Well, he just wants to know, how tall is freakishly tall Todd Friel?
Tall.
Freakishly
tall. I'm not that tall, actually. I mean, these days, I'm not that tall. 6'4" and a half?
And a half. Oh, you were counting halves.
Well, I measured it because, I go to the doctor's office and they tell me how tall I am.
Is that like?
And I haven't shrunk yet, so don't even think about it. I'm still 6'4" and a half. So there, pal. When I jump, I'm 6'5". Hi-yo! Got no vertical here. Tennis players these days, I'm telling you, they're free. I'm like a shorty in tennis world. When I played tennis, I was taller than Wheaton. Not that we were on the same level. He was pretty good. He was, I think, 6'2". He was a monster. 6'2" these days, it's like, 6'5" is like where all the big boys are coming in these days, it seems. They are just eating too much corn. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I see so many excellent resources for those struggling with addiction to porn. What encouragement or resources are there for the spouses who want to make it work but are repeatedly lied to and essentially cheated on?
Yeah. Here's your resource. Write this one down. I mean it. You are going to want to avail yourself of this resource. E-L, not Elvis, E-L-D-E-R-S. Your elders. Avail yourself of your elders. Now, I immediately can hear somebody saying, but my husband doesn't go to church. You need your elders. You need the support of the church. You need to make sure that they are keeping an eye on making sure that you're safe, helping you navigate these waters. Because if you've got somebody who's repeatedly being deceptive, and they are immersing themselves in this filth, you need to have some really deep conversations. I know different people have different views about, does pornography, does it qualify for adultery? Well, there's people that are split on that subject, and they would say, no, literally, it has to be the actual physical act. There are others who would say, no, you've got an individual who's abandoned the marriage and the covenant union and defiling the marital bed, even if it is simply in their mind, and it's ongoing, and the continued deception. You need your elders to deal with a man who is living an ongoing, unrepentant sin, so that you can discuss what might her options be in this situation. I'm really hesitant to make blanket statements because there's so much detail that is needed. Is he making any effort at all? How long has this been going on? Are we seeing any progress whatsoever? What's his attitude about this subject? All of that needs to be considered. But to consider it rightly, you need E-L-D-E-R-S. Call him. Meet with them. Want to speak to you about this confidentially. I'm even going to ask you to not discuss this with your spouse. This is my situation. Help me. And I'm sorry you're going through that. Dude, if you're even dabbling in this garbage, you're killing your spouse. You're killing her. I don't think she's aware. Yeah, she is. You're just deceived in a lot of ways. 877-282-23. As far as a resource for like having to cope, I would point you just toward, if you're staying in the marriage and you're trying to learn how to cope to it, biblical counseling books on the issue of long suffering, patience, dealing with sinful people. It doesn't need to necessarily be porn oriented. It can be just developing how you continue to endure with somebody who's abusing the marital vow. You got any?
Yeah, I'm sure there are some out there. They're resources for everything. I'm sure there are some good resources out there, but I would echo what you said. Before you even dive into resources, you need to talk to your elders first. Let them point you to resources.
This is what church is about. Really, this is what it is about. And you don't need to be ashamed of it. It's not your sin. You're not a bad spouse because your husband is looking at filth. That is his sin and it's all on him, period. Yeah, you got your sins. Welcome to Christianity. But he's choosing to sin. So you don't need to be ashamed to bring that sin up to the elders and ask them for help, whether he's a member or not. And this is one more reason why you should love the local church. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen this. When somebody's a Lone Ranger Christian and inevitably they run into a snag in life, something hits it and it's hard and there they are just floating around and it's like, well, what do your elders say? I don't have any elders. Okay. What about somebody who can disciple you? I don't know anybody who can disciple. Okay. What about people who can just encourage you and help you and walk through this? How's about being with those people who have already walked through this, who could download information and wisdom to you? I don't really have any. Okay. Become a member of a local church. It is for your good. It is for your safety. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, how does a person biblically help someone struggling with anorexia?
Lovingly, patiently, with urgency, because they could be harming their bodies in irreparable ways, and they could be even risking their own lives. There's something deep anorexia is a fruit. It's not a root, it's a fruit. There's something that is off either with their morality or their theology that needs to be corrected. A good biblical counselor, I don't mean to minimize the issue and from any perspective, but anorexia, that to a biblical counselor, that'd be like, no problem. Let's go. I know where to go looking. I know where to go digging. I know where to find what is going on in the heart so that you can get to the root of the issue. It is not every issue needs to be brought to a biblical counselor. Much of this daily life struggle stuff, we can just help one another. When it's something like anorexia, there is definitely something deep going on in the heart of the individual who feels that they need to be skinnier than what we would kind of esteem as being like a healthy weight. It's definitely a heart issue. And I would say that it would be wise to get this person to a biblical counselor. If you want to simply find resources to understand it, I suspect the Help series would have something it's going to be a skimming the surface business, but it's Help. My friend has anorexia. Help. I have breast cancer. It's a wonderful series. They probably have 60 books by now. I think Shepherd is Ted Tripp's place got the Help books.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Just look for Help. My friend has anorexia. You'll find those books. Or if you're going to go Googling, biblical counseling, anorexia. And read all of those articles. Look for all of those resources and you will find plenty. Now, just be careful because even though you put in biblical counseling, it's going to pop up Christian counseling. You don't want that. You want biblical counseling. So be careful as you sort through which link you click on, but you will find plenty there. 877, you know what we could do someday?
What's that?
Just thinking, if we knew any biblical counselors, has Greg ever done anything on this subject? You know what? Libby could.
Yeah.
She just finished up the series. It's not released yet, but she just finished the series on women and pornography for those women who are succumbing to that sin. So she just finished that. We're going to turn that actually into a Sunday school free resource at our Fortis app. But she can also tackle the subject of anorexia. Send a note to Libby. Libby, just an idea.
You talking to Siri?
Asking for a friend. And then just see if she'd be willing to do something because it's, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not entirely foreign to the Christian church. And I suspect the numbers have actually gone up. Now, it's possible they've gone down simply because In Karen Carpenter's time, you did, what is this? What's happening? What is she doing? Why is she so skinny? No places to go. Nobody really understood what these eating issues were all about. Today, they might be confined some videos that would help them, but they can also watch an awful lot of videos that make them feel fat, ugly, frumpy, not perfect, not model caliber. And they can feel that pressure via social media. So if I were a bet man, I would say that the cases of anorexia, they have not gone down. They have probably gone up. It's heartbreaking because it's a heartbroken issue. The good news is, and I'm telling you with all of the authority of the Bible, oh, there's so much hope for a woman or man who is struggling with body image issues. This is Wretched Radio.
You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no, then there are the experts that give the real answers, with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow up? And Fortis Institute fellow pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us. As an ongoing monthly gospel partner, help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us, to glorify him, and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Usually I like it when I'm right. In this instance, not so much. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you want to take a swing at how many Americans suffer from eating disorders, as the secularists would call it? Take a guess. It's millions.
50.
Thanks for wrecking it. 24 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is according to the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders. 24 million people I suspect there are people who are affected by it to milder degrees that it's not reported. But just the same, this is a big issue. And you found something on your bookshelf.
Oh, I did. Yes. From Ed Welch. He wrote Eating Disorders is the name of the book, The Quest for Thinness.
Yeah, there would be a good resource. Jimmy, if you'd be so kind to keep that bad boy out, I'll read that.
Okay.
And then I'll read it over the weekend and we'll talk about it on Monday.
Okay.
Because it's a thing.
It is.
And the good news is this needs to be done tenderly and lovingly and in the context of relationship. But the good news about eating disorders is they're not disorders. They're sins. And you go, whoa, dude, lighten up. No. What lurks behind it almost inevitably is something sinful. And that's excellent news for the Christian. Hey, if it's a sinful issue, that means I don't have a psychological disorder. I have a spiritual issue, and God is excellent at healing us spiritually and helping us overcome sin and become more sanctified to be holy like he is holy. That is excellent news, but it needs to be reframed. As soon as you say disorder, I go, wait, hold on a second. Disordered compared to what? And what are you trying to do? This is a label on people. You do not need to be labeled as anorexic for the rest of your life. You need to understand what is the motivator that is underneath the surface. Yes, I guess it could just be theological, but most likely, and again, this is good news. I'm not trying to offend anybody who struggles with this. It's a sin issue. And I don't say that to just simply then slap you on the knuckles and go, still stop sinning and have a steak. When, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the good news is that God helps us overcome sin, but we need to identify it as such. We need to identify what the actual sin is. And then once we define the sin, then we find the biblical solution. And then you surround yourself with believers who will support you and help you in the context of a local church to continually gain the victory. There's good news for you. And I'm sure Ed Welch talks about that in his book. And I'm sure he offers, there's plenty of power in the Holy Spirit to help you overcome your eating issue. I promise you, because the Bible tells me so. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I try to love my neighbor as myself. But when a grievous cruelty happens right in front of me, all the fruit of the Spirit flies right out of the window. What say you?
Well, that could be a sin. It might not be, because we should hate sin. If somebody's being abused, that... Look, it doesn't mean that you get to drop the F-bomb on people and lose that, start sinning in an unnecessary way. But righteous indignation is a right response to how was it described, with gross atrocities or something like that?
Grievous cruelty.
Yeah. Grievous cruelty. It should get us stirred. It should really get us like, gotta help here and jump in here. So I'm not sure it's necessarily a sin. Now, if you're losing control of yourself, okay, you need to work on self-control. You need to learn how to be meek rightly, because you hear meek and you go, that's weak. I say, no, it's strength that is under control. And so if there's areas in your response to these cruelties that exceeds righteous indignation, okay, then repent of those things. Be aware of those things. And then the next time you see it, be sober-minded. Sober-minded doesn't mean, well, don't drink. Now, drinking, I think, is included in that, because too much drinking intoxicates you. It makes you fuzzy. And to be sober-minded is to be clear thinking, steady, weighing issues. I don't like get out of control or spaz out when something is very, very chaotic or challenging around me. Be aware that you can respond like that, to inform yourself, all right, this is a cruelty. I need to deal with the cruelty and not myself do anything that is cruel. And incidentally, if this is possible at all, probably unlikely, but maybe... If when these cruelties happen, I don't know how often you're witnessing this stuff, your brothers and sisters can help you with it. They can show you where you kind of, bro, you kind of crossed the line there. You did this, but okay, you pulled the, somebody's beating up a dog. You pull the guy off. Okay, that was enough. You didn't need to hit him 17 times. Let your brothers and sisters help you. And if you've sinned in that regard, then repent of it and recognize that you've got an area of growth potential. That's a good thing. So that the Lord can sanctify you and grow you in fruit of the Spirit. Having said all of that, don't lose your righteous indignation. I fear we have. I really do. I fear we have. I think with all of the influences of our current culture, it almost causes us to just kind of wash our hands of stuff. Well, ain't my business. I just heard somebody else. This initially struck me. I think I shared this. We were in Florida and we were in an Uber, which was a Tesla, which is there some sort of government program where they're funding Teslas these days? I just, at any rate, we're in the Tesla and the woman said that she just hates it when she drives by a car and the pot smoke wafts into her car. She said, it really bugs me. And somehow the conversation turned toward these people, they need help. And her response was, hey, as long as they're not hurting me, boop, hold on a second, hold on. She's lost it. She's lost a compassion for other people, a concern. She's perhaps been persuaded into thinking, just mind your own beeswax. You are an island. Keep your nose out of everybody else's business. No, compassion says, I do put my nose in other people's business where appropriate. If somebody's sinning, I care. If somebody's being sinned against, I care. We can't lose our heart of compassion and concern. We just need to keep it under control in our response. 877-282-2337.
James 1:10. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Right. That's anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, if you want to dig into that verse, flip it. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So the more righteous you are, the less anger you're going to have. So this is a sanctification. If you're regularly getting angry, this is a sanctification issue. How do you get over your anger? You become more righteous. This is how it works with every sin, by the way. The more holy you become, the less you will be sinning. And one of the, First Peter 1, fearing the Lord is key to being sober-minded. Fearing the Lord is also key in being ready for action and being holy. That it's like we have a genuine, high, reverential fear of God. That will actually help you to not sin. I think did I cite three? It's for this Sunday sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church. One is fear of the Lord, but also love of the Lord should motivate you to not sin. There is a third one that I think we're going to be talking about today, simply because of the text in 1 Peter 1:17-21. Talks about if you're a Christian, if you believe in the Father who judges with perfect righteousness, he's the one who's not bribed. He judges with equity in everything that he does. Fear him because of the judgment to come. So it's not a fear of being condemned. It's fear of discipline. It's a fear of disappointment. It's a fear of receiving a refiner's fire that is probably going to be pretty unpleasant because he loves you. So I think that fearing the Lord, loving the Lord, and get ready for this one, recognizing there are rewards. That's a part of judgment too, that God is going to dole out rewards. Now, if I had to put those in order, I think rewards, I think ideally I would put love first. That should be our primary motivator for holiness. I love God. Why would I want to sin against my Father as an obedient child? I think second, though, fear of the Lord or rewards. I think I can't pick which one would go second and third, honestly. Because I do think that the ultimate is that we do it just because we want to. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to blow up. But why would I want to act like Jesus never acted like that? Why would I want to displease my father? And that's what 1 Peter 1 also does in 17 through 21. It reminds you, you were bought with something more precious than silver and gold. Why, oh, why would we want to sin against such a Savior? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.